The playoffs are just around the corner, and it is time to oil up. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Edmonton's upcoming playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup this spring and shop the exclusive Oil Up playoff merch and more at nationgear.ca.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I hate to break the fishing news after M-Chuck, but I'd like to speak about the ice hockey.
Congratulations, you're one of the 13 listeners of the Real Life Podcast.
We just traded a migraine in for, like, an orgasm.
Might want to mark that down,
your M-Chuck. Yep.
All of my projects are on schedule until they're not.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts.
About as funny as we're going to get today.
Episode 292 of the Real Life Podcast. Tyler Yaremchuk, Jay, Bag Milk, Wanye. We're getting very close to episode 300, which is something we should probably plan something sizable for. That's like a big milestone,
what
I think,
do you
right?
do for the 300th episode of a podcast? What's the, it's like an anniversary. What's 300? What's the second anniversary get you for a present?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. We'll figure something out. Again, like we do on this podcast, always open to listener suggestions. That's our big thing. Yesterday was Father's Day. There's only one dad on this podcast. Wanye, how was your Father's Day?
Yeah, that was pretty good. First time.
That would be your first. Yep.
Didn't you see there's a photo on Twitter going around where I am your father?
Yeah, that's very funny. Good work from Surveyor Brett. That screenshot he has of me is not a great photo of me. But it's a good photo. It's retweeted on our Real Life Twitter as well. So if you want to see that, you can. But Wanye, first Father's Day, it was good. Wanye Jr. treated you good, got you a little present.
He did. He gave me a present, a photo of himself framed. If that isn't class, I don't know what is.
That is. That's a gentlemanly move.
He is a gentlemanly move. Yeah. Yeah. No, he was a good sport about it all.
Bag Milk, you posted a video of your dad playing the piano. That was nice.
Yes, I did. That was from a year ago. But yes, I did see my dad yesterday. It was lovely. It's always good to hang out with the old man. You know what? Good He's enough. At that stage of his retirement now where his outfits are always funny and always makes me laugh. Because if it's sunny outside, there's a 100% chance my dad is going to wear something ridiculous. So yesterday, he rolled into the backyard wearing just this really aggressive skin tight, like singlet, I guess. It's like a rash guard, it almost looked like. And then black jeans and Crocs. It was a fucking, it was a hell of a look.
He's on point. Crocs are back, buddy.
They've never left for him, I'll tell you. He's got multiple pairs and they've all got different uses. Like this one's for the garage. This one's, this is his living Crocs. So he's been the living Crocs yesterday.
Wow. I'm a fan of Crocs. I don't own a pair, but I never judge anyone for wearing them. But I like that you pointed out the dad outfit move because they quite often do not make a ton of sense. Especially once your dad gets up there a little bit, it was an
aggressive look. I'll tell you,
there's like I said, I've said it once and I'll say it again. There will be a point in my life where all I wear is Tommy Bahama, so like Hawaiian old baggy shirts to let the locker loose, give myself some room to grow, some pants, some loafers,
room to grow. I have a concept for you, Jay. That when I say the very word, it will trigger an emotional cavalcade for you. Birkencrocs.
Yeah. Well, so. It's interesting to say that Birks make a like kind of croc material Birke. So it's funny you say that. Yeah.
Maybe they'll collabo and then you can just get those and wear them for the remainder of your natural life.
Well, yeah, yeah. American so that'll crack. Be my footwear. And then if Tom, if maybe if Nation Gear can become big enough, we can do a collaboration with Tommy Bahama. That would be.
Oh, I think that would go over really well.
Man.
Well, the floral hat went very well. Like, we need to order more. I was always wondering if it would ever take, but we got one ready and launched it, and it just caught fire. It's a good hat, though.
I like the Tommy Bahama look. I think, like, that's a good play. Girl. Maybe like some cargo shorts too. Throw that in there.
Yeah, just like there's something to be said about a brand whose core tagline is relax.
Yeah, Jesus, you'll have no more need for the manscaper when you roll that look out.
No, I'll keep it tight.
Natural.
I'll be business shield. Underneath the hood.
I had a very touching moment with my father. He's double vax now, so we're starting to, you know, like hang on the backyard again and all that stuff. I took him golfing for Father's Day.
He's a left-hander too. You're both left-handed.
Yeah, we're golfers. Both lefties. Because but I'm fucked up in the sense that so I golf left, I play hockey left.
That's
but
why
I'm a you're natural. Right-handed. I'm a natural righty in baseball.
Yeah, you're fucked up. You shouldn't golf left.
I shouldn't be golfing left, but my dad golfed left, so that's just what I started doing. Right. So I took him golfing, gave him his gifts. And he just didn't really say much when I gave him to him. He just kind of grunted. And then when I was leaving his house that night, he said, "Hey, thanks for the gifts." And that was very touching for the two of us. Hmm. The other day, this is a hilarious story, but my niece was over in the backyard. She's three. She's rather bossy. It's hilarious. But she demanded that while she was playing with her toys in the backyard, that my dad and I hold hands. No one knows why, but she was adamant that my father and I had to hold hands.
Wow.
And my dad and I have not, aside from like a handshake at the end of a round of golf, have not like, you know, hugged or anything. Like, we don't do that. Yeah, we're very official. So it was incredibly awkward when my dad like had to like reach out his hand to get my niece to stop yelling. And we'd like hold hands briefly. It was hilarious.
I remember my dad was teaching. Oh, sorry, Bagel. I remember my dad was teaching me to drive standard, and he was in the passenger seat, and he put his hand on top of mine to like show me how the stick shift worked, and we were both like, "This is fucked."
Yeah.
Yeah, I find that super interesting because I'm the complete opposite way with my dad. I like to weird.
Oh, you kiss him on the lips, you weird Tom Brady esque. Like,
yesterday it was 20 some odd degrees, and I thought it'd be funny to sit in his lap. And like, I was holding him around the neck, and my sister's just like, "This is the weirdest shit ever." I'm like, "Hey man, I'm just a big kid." And he loves it. He says he doesn't love it, but I know he loves it.
The court order said to stop, but they're not telling the truth.
That's right.
I like that you brought up learning how to drive, Wanye, because I remember 16 had my, or 15 had my learners, learning how to drive ahead of my test and all that. And usually my mom was the one teaching me because my dad fucking hates when anyone else drives. He does not like being in the passenger seat. Family,
for God's sakes,
we
even
drove,
if you're teaching your son to drive, Mr. Remtuck Senior, even then.
One summer, we drove all the way to Seattle, and he didn't let my mom drive once, or any of his kids. Like, he did not want to brake. He just fucking did it the whole time, and he'd get mad if someone else was like, "I want to drive a bit." He'd be like, "No, you're not driving."
Have you ever seen the Wonder Years, your Remtuck?
No, I have not.
I thought as much. Anyways, I imagine his dad is the dad in the Wonder Years. Boys, you've seen that show.
Oh, yeah. There was
one time where I'd been driving on the road for a little bit with my mom. Like, I was getting, you know, comfortable with it. And I asked my dad, I'm like, "Hey, can you take me to practice driving tonight? My test's coming up, blah, blah, blah." So he's like, "Fine, we can go to a parking lot." I was like, "Okay, sure." And we drove in the parking lot for 2 minutes. And he basically just yelled at me a couple of times because he thought I was getting too close to hitting a light pole, even though I wasn't.
Sure.
And then I kind of stopped and said, "You know what? I think I'm good." And then we went back home and sat in silence. It was hilarious.
My brother taught me how to drive a standard by going to the bottom of 105th Street and like parking on the hill. And he's like, "Away you go." He threw me in the deep end. All I could remember is burning the shit out of my clutch. Like, it was the worst first experience ever driving a standard.
I remember I learned parallel parking on my way to my driver's test.
Respect.
I like that. I like that.
You're like, "Okay, you got to learn. It took me right downtown Jasper Ave. I'm sorry, 124th Street. Pretty active street.
Yeah.
And had to parallel park in traffic. He's like, "If you can do it here, you can do it anywhere on that test."
My main concern for my driver's test was not having to go down Grote Road. Because in my brain, that was like the most complicated part of town. And so I purposefully took my test deep West End so that I wouldn't be anywhere near Grote Road. Guess what happened?
Groat Road.
Motherfucker took me right to Groat Road.
But did you do it?
Yes, but I failed the first time because I forgot to put the parking brake on. So then I got back to the place, Deep West End, and I was like, oh, yeah, the parking brake. So we got the end, and I threw the parking brake on with great flourish. And the guy was like, no, failed, came out, ashen-faced. My dad was like, oh, shit, well, we can just go to another place. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, they don't talk to each other, the system. And I just went to another place and passed it two in a day. Boom.
I've told this story before, but I took mine out in like a small town. And for the sole reason of like, I know I'll be okay if I mess something up. And, you know, you're nervous and all that. I did good on everything, but I missed a playground zone and I went 50 through it. So at the end of the test, the old man was like, you know, you're a good driver. I can tell you're a good driver, but you went 50 through a playground zone. I'm, you know, that's an automatic fail. And then he goes, ah, no, you were good at everything else. I'll pass you. And he passed me with only like 5 demerits. He didn't even ding me for it.
And you're still learning through playground zones to this day? Or?
Yeah. Very smart. I'm very smart.
I also did mine in a small town. It was the best. And the big to-do on my driver's test, I remember what was going on the highway. That was it. I parallel parked behind one car. It wasn't even between two cars. And the hill park was on flat ground. It was the best thing ever. It took like 10 minutes. Easiest driver's test ever. If you can't drive people, go to a small town. I promise.
That's funny. When I took my motorcycle test, that was exactly it. Like I practiced the hill start and stop. And they made you do it on flat ground. And I just, I kept fucking up. I almost, they give you 3 chances. And I was dominating everything. I took a motorcycle class. I was crushing everything, doing the hill things, but it was on flat ground and I had to do it on my 3rd try. I was fucking shitting my pants.
When I first started driving, the thing that boggled my young brain was like the 360. When you're driving down the road, something could come at you from any direction. That was always what my mind was stuck on, right? Like, I don't like a tire coming, shooting out into traffic or something, right? Yeah. And I just remember when I first started driving, I would like, check my mirror, look over my shoulder. Like I was always looking in every direction. And my driving instructor teacher was like, you have to look straight ahead, man. I was like, shit, it can come from anywhere. By 3 o'clock.
That's your PTSD from the war.
I guess. I was also wasn't sure how the driving wheel moved all the tires at the same, like, did the back tires move or just the front? It was all very mechanically confusing. But I made it work.
And we're here now.
Here, M-Chuck. Here we are now, driving in a podcast.
Yeah, drive this podcast. Or are you going to burn through a school zone?
No, I will not do that.
Now here we are today, 2021, on a driving instructors podcast.
I wonder if we have any listeners who are like driving instructors. That'd be interesting.
My uncle was a driving instructor. Does that count?
Yeah,
do you think right now that you could pass a driver's test right now?
No.
Fuck yeah.
I've been putting off going because like I need to go get my next license. Like I'm still on my GDL or whatever, like the one you get when you're 16. I haven't gone back.
Oh, we all got those before that.
Yeah, for sure.
You guys all got lucky. They decided to open up a cash grab now, so I can't. Like, I'm not technically allowed to.
So, what is the difference between your grade 1 and grade 2 driver's
license? Not allowed to drive past midnight or some shit like that, aren't you?
And I can't. I have a zero tolerance for alcohol. Like, if I have one beer, I can't drive legally. Like, oh, I can't drive. Like, I. Whatever. And that's why whenever we'd be like recording podcasts and shit back at Little Brick, you guys would be like cracking beers. And I'd be like, leave mine uncracked. I'll have it at home.
I just thought
I never
you were
drank
me.
With you guys.
I know. I thought you were a jerk.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely not an asshole. I love beer, but I just love following
the law.
We're
all learning about each other today.
All right. Something else. I'm literally just going through the list here. Father's Day, good. I'm getting my second vaccine tomorrow. That's exciting in my life.
What's going on Friday?
Yeah, there we go.
Last week.
I'm nervous that I'm going to feel like shit the next day a little bit. So I'm taking a lot of like preventative measures ahead of time. Sure. Like I'm going to drink a shitload of water. I'm going to drink like a Gatorade before, a Gatorade after. I'm going to try to grind through this thing and not get sick from it.
You're going to be tired. You're going to be tired the next day. So just power through it. It's all good.
Interesting.
All right. We'll be a fully vaxxed podcast in no time.
That's very exciting for me.
We can do one together.
Yeah. And then we can, when the new studio opens up, we can get back in it and, start grinding them out in person again, which will be a ton of fun.
It's going to be cool timing. Well, it's not coincidental because we've been delaying the building as long as we can, but like basically the first day of work will be the hopefully end of the pandemic work restrictions.
Yeah.
That's cool to like slide into a whole new building day one.
Whole new era.
Whole new era. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're
Where do I want to go next? Because there's a few here. We have audio clips because we opened up our voicemail. So that is all ready to go.
I am interested to hear what we've got so far, because this is what's going to blaze the trail for the for the future.
When we talked about doing this, my main point was, if we open Pandora's box and ask people to talk back to us, I think we're going to run the gamut from hilarity to horrifying to everything in between. And the first day did not disappoint.
No, it did not. We're going to get to those in just a second here. But first, Nation Gear launching another mystery box. We kind of do this like every summer and whatnot. But it's up right now. Or is it up right now? Nationgear.ca. Like, we're all good to go with this.
Yeah, well, we're promoting it, so we better be.
Yeah, we are. So it's a $60 mystery box, and you get two Nation Gear tees from the 2021 season. And a Nation Gear hat. So you're getting three pieces for $60, basically averaging out $20 a pop. That's a really good deal. And again, you don't know what it is. So I figured now would be a good time to go back and revisit some of the favorite Nation Gear pieces of or in the history of the company from the three people who have been there for pretty much the entire time. Like, I have my favorites. Mine, the Hope Will Never Die, simple black hoodie with just the logo on sort of the left chest. That's my favorite. I wear that hoodie 3 or 4 days a week, probably. I'm always in that thing. Love that piece. Love the new Dynamic Duo shirt. That one's up there. And the Oilers Nation Internet Company one is one of the new ones I love too. What do you guys
think? There's also some of our unreleased underground designs, like Koski for Vezina, that might be in the mix. Or
in the mystery box, you mean?
In the mystery. Yeah, yeah. We're just kidding.
Cool.
I'm kidding.
Oh.
I'm like, shit, we should have. Just fanfic. Shirelli love shirts.
That actually would be,
you know, be a sick t-shirt if you could take the time would be to do the research and find Shirelli's photo at Harvard and make your shirt that photo on the front,
like the screenshot of his, or even the screenshot of his like Harvard yearbook page
with
all the random people on it, and then also Peter Shirelli, and people are like, why do you have that shirt? And you're like, oh, Peter Shirelli's on it.
They're like, is that a mugshot? You're like, no, it's Peter Chiarelli's Harvard undergrad photo from second year.
Yeah. Bag milk, like, what do you
You've
got?
Never seen a woman naked, have you? Like, nah.
What do you got? Favorite Nation Gear of all time?
That's impossible. I tried to grab one that's my favorite, but I packed it away already. My favorite one, I think, is probably the first t-shirt I ever got. And it's OG. And there's like six people that probably have one. It's the one, you guys remember it? It was gray with the big teeth on it, and it was missing teeth.
Yeah,
that one was one of my favorites. I loved that shirt. I thought it was so much fun. That was a website.
That was like the first one ever.
That was Nation Gear 1.0. I can't remember the company that we partnered with. Spark was the printer, and was that also the line of clothing? Anyways,
they have an office over by the Space Science Center.
Yeah, that's classic. My favorite, the OG hat.
Yeah.
Is timeless.
And would that be like
they just still move.
The black still, snapback?
The black snapback.
Love that
and
hat.
Then in terms of, oh man, we've done some cool shit.
You know what another one of my favorite is while you're thinking, Jay? Is for a while when shit was really rough and we had the baseball tee that said sad since 07.
That was fun.
I like that
was a good one. That one was a popular one as well. You still see it out every now and then. Coming up with Nation Gear designs has always been fun for me. Like, there's some of the ideas that we spit out around the office that end up on a t-shirt or whatever is always pretty
a
fun.
A lot of the stuff around the lottery, like, that was fun because that stuff happened so fast and it just caught fire.
Yeah, like the Lotto Ball t-shirt.
I remember buying hoodie. That one.
The OG hoodie ticket. Is my favorite one.
Yeah, the very
first. I have
massive ass logo on it.
I have an OG hoodie signed by Ryan Smith. It doesn't get much better than that. It's when we went to Moose Jaw for his retirement, he was nice enough to sign one of my hoodies.
Yeah, that's
the OG Nation hoodie.
I don't know what it is about the original hoodies, but the material, like the hoodie they were made out of,
they were solid, like,
very durable.
Yeah, very, very solid.
Durable. I'm a big toque guy, so I like the toques we come up with a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love the VG like Oilers Nation hat. That was a cool one.
Yeah, I
see you see a lot of Nation Gear around the city, actually, but the one that always, and maybe it's just because it stands out to me, but I think I see it a lot, the City of Champions gear. Like that yep. shit, I always thought was yeah. really sharp, and I see it around a lot.
Yeah.
And the actually, you know what?
Sick on that.
It was sick. And like, there's a cool, I posted it on Instagram actually last week. There's a really cool photo of Jay, Rick and I walking in Winnipeg. And somebody took a picture from behind of the City of Champions hoodies. It was super cool. But I think for me, just cause it has to be my favorite Nation Gear moment is when we got the photo of Ryan Nugent Hopkins at his wedding. Yeah. All the boys are wearing Keep Nuge Forever shirts. Like it
unreal.
Didn't really get much better.
That is a point in time in the Nation history that'll still stand above the rest.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was unreal. That's a good
and that
one.
Was just like something like that hashtag I started 100 years ago, but then we were just, I think probably Jay at the office was just like, we should do a Keep Nuge Forever shirt.
Now when J-Rock shouted me out wearing Nation Gear, that was a very big moment for me and Nation Gear as well in its history.
Yep.
Roy, 100%.
That was exciting. J-Rock of Trailer Park Boys fame, what up, in character, wearing Nation Gear, shouted out Wanya, and I turned into a beam of light and shot into space. I was so happy.
He was, Jonathan Torrens was, he was doing something in town, probably for Taggart and Torrens or something like that, maybe.
Such and a nice guy. So crazy, so nice.
He was nice enough to meet up with us on a Saturday or whatever. And we gave him a big box of Nation Gear. And then he's like, do you want me to do a video? Like, yeah, that'd be great. So he just pops on some Nation Gear, he threw a hoodie on and a hat. And then all of a sudden he just like kind of went like that into J-Rock and did awesome. His little shtick. And it's by far, like not close, the most viewed video on our YouTube page. Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah, it is.
By far.
You can go to that YouTube page, The Nation Network, and subscribe. Find all our video content.
Well
there.
Done, Rimchuck. Well done.
Very good at seamlessly mixing in plugs and ad reads, like the one I'm about to give off for Neo Financial, a better way to spend, save, and get rewarded. The sleek app makes savings easy. Neo Financial. I also missed off the top. This podcast is presented by the HGA Group, the next generation of business services. HGA Group, built to serve you better. A couple of stories from around the NHL, and one that I'm going to tie back into the Oilers here. I don't know if you saw this, but JT Brown, now former NHLer, announced his retirement and then also announced that he's taken a job to be a broadcast analyst with the Seattle Kraken. So in one day, he goes from NHL player to NHL broadcaster. Another weird instance of like broadcaster player mix over. The Toronto Blue Jays signed Canadian John Axford, relief pitcher, to a minor league deal with the plan that he could work his way up to the majors. And he was an analyst on their games earlier this season yet. So he in a year is going from Jays analyst circling back to player in the Blue Jays organization, which I think is really cool.
If we're talking about baseball for a second too, if you don't mind, Tyler, shout out to our boy. He listens to the podcast. Eric Sabowski, first pro win on the weekend.
Yes. First professional win. He threw two innings, didn't allow a run. And I think he struck out four as well. So he is, he's making some noise in the minor leagues of baseball.
Sabowski.
A lot of long bus rides. I'm sure he's crushing out real life podcasts while he's on the road with Fort Wayne.
We should advise him on the show.
Should make longer podcasts for him for his bus ride enjoyment. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's trying to forget, and all of a sudden the Nation podcast is about his games, like blow by blow.
Yeah, Aaron, leave us a voicemail. Leave us a voicemail from the bus. Let us know how it's going.
Yeah, let us
hit
know.
Us up, Eric. That'd be nice. Like updates from the road, and he could just like channel him to his phone. That'd be great. Tell us like what you ate and shit on the road.
He might be having like an inception moment right now as he's listening to the podcast on the bus. And we're talking about him listening to the podcast on the bus while he's on the bus.
That'd be pretty funny.
Oh, like the time J-Rock for my favorite show said my fake blogging name on Facebook. What the fuck?
So the reason I brought up the player broadcaster stuff is I wanted to ask you guys, which current Oilers player would make the best analyst? Who would be the best broadcaster on this current Oilers team?
I'm going to say Leon Draisaitl because he'll say things that are just ridiculous. Anytime he has a mic in front of his face, he is the only one on this team that will say anything interesting. So I'm going to give him my vote.
I would Leon the Draisaitl. Same logic. I think the same logic, Bagmelk. I would go Mike Smith.
Absolutely. I could see him too. Yeah.
He'd shoot from the hip.
Mm-hmm. And he'd be fucking scary while he's doing it too.
He's a witty guy too. Like sometimes like his back and forths with Scott Oak this year have been like kind of funny at points. Mike Smith would be good. He was the first one that jumped to my brain simply for the appeal of having him on your broadcast, James Neal.
Oh, that smile. He just smiles at right? the camera for the entire thing.
Like imagine having him on your panel. That's a pretty good shout right there with James Neal as well. I think Mike Smith's a good one. Drysdale, you're right. You might get some good quotes from. Who else? There's got to be some good sleeper picks throughout this.
I know.
You know who would be a terrible, terrible announcer? Angry Connor.
Yeah, he's just stares off. Angrily. At
they throw over to him. It. What do you think, Angry Connor? Hmm? And that's the end. Remember Angry Connor after the playoff game where they were trying to talk to him?
Like anytime things don't go.
His hips. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And there was a shot of him with his hands on his hips. They were trying to talk to him and he wasn't having it. I love when Connor's like that. Connor is not here for 1 ounce of fame. It's one of the things I respect about him.
Yeah. He is here to win hockey games.
Yep.
That's all he really gives a shit about. And it's
quite how bad. Long of a break? Like, obviously we're guessing, but like how long of a break do you think Connor actually took from
45 minutes, an hour, probably?
That's what I was going to say. Like more than a week, I'd be shocked.
I bet you like it's a pretty loose break. Like even when he goes on like his vacations, I bet you he's waking up a few days on that vacation and like going for a good run and like doing that kind of shit. Like I don't think he's ever like fully checked out.
I bet he brings his skipping rope with him into fitness like I am.
Yeah, he probably isn't a skipping rope.
Probably really good at it too.
Well, how's your jump rope career doing, Beg Milk?
God, I was the sweatiest mess like an hour ago. Just my fitness is so poor. It is really bad, but I'm working on it. It's a work in progress. We'll get there. We'll get there.
So the names we came up with were Mike Smith and Leon Draisaitl and maybe potentially James Neal.
I think the problem is that the Oilers don't do a good job of showing us their personality.
Exactly. I was there's just going to say, guys,
there's probably guys that are fucking hilarious that we just don't know about it.
Yeah. Who are the personalities on the Oilers in the last 15 years to me is an open-ended question. I don't even know the answer to.
Yeah.
Matt Hendricks.
Yeah,
I can
good.
See him. Yep.
Sam Gagne.
Sam Gagne is just a great guy. Yeah.
Friend Jason Strudwick.
Struddy. Legend. Struddy's
a natural.
Legend.
Struddy on dinner television. What a time.
Matt Green was pretty good, wasn't he, back in the day? Wasn't he?
He's supposed to be funny, but he's like, yeah, he's supposed to be quite the character.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jared Stoll does a little TV down in LA right now. We had him on the beautiful rundown.
Yeah. How was he?
Like, I wonder who's the guy telling me cracking jokes right now. You know what I mean? In the locker room. Like, who is that guy?
I think it's keeping things light.
Yeah, Cassian. I can see a cute light. I could see Tyler Ennis being a jokester for some reason.
I think that's been said in some interviews too, actually.
That's probably why
Tyler Ennis keeps it light.
I can also see Connor in the corner, though, shooting daggers at people joking around when he doesn't think it's funny. I think if you had like a Connor eyeball cam in the locker room, he'd be staring people down when he thinks it's time to get into game mode.
Yeah, maybe. I bet he likes it just to kind of give him a little bit of relief.
Sometimes, but not other times.
Yeah, losing, you're cracking jokes, maybe not.
You know, everyone kind of has a thing they get chirped for, right? What does Connor McDavid get chirped for in the locker room? Like, do you think he gets a lot of like, oh yeah, just because you're Connor McDavid, like a lot of shit like that? Like, I wonder what the chirps are directed at Connor.
Him being a robot. It's like how he doesn't have a sense of humor and stuff.
See, but I think get to see his sense of humor a little bit. Like we don't,
I don't think that a lot of times he's laughing. Like, I think he's a pretty serious guy altogether.
I bet you he gets chirped for the way he eats pasta. And he's a bit of a disaster when it comes to it because he's so focused on the carbo loading.
Oh, so you think he's just going at it prison style? Hatch.
He's going 43 kilometers an hour.
Didn't somebody say that he would? Didn't Draisaitl tell the meatballs. Story where Connor was always pecking away at everyone's food because he wouldn't order junk food?
Yeah, that's right. They call him the crane or something.
The crane,
That's it. Yeah, I knew it was food. Yeah, food related for McDavid for sure.
That is funny. He doesn't order junk food, but then he'll eat yours.
Yeah, classic he'll crane your beer too. Doesn't count. Maybe
couldn't you see he's so focused on hockey that he's just kind of mediocre at ping pong in the room? Because we know the ping pong table's legendary in the Oilers room. Like he's just kind of mediocre at it and they bust his balls on it.
Here's the thing. I don't even think that Connor necessarily likes sports. I think he's just so like focused on the task at hand that he's not like, oh, you know what else is great? Things other than hockey. No.
Yeah, maybe. He had a funny exchange. Whenever Connor McDavid posts something that isn't sponsored content, it always gets my attention because it's very rare. But he had a funny little joke thrown at Alphonso Davies. Did you guys see that?
Did you get the joke?
So Alphonso Davies posted a photo of himself holding a signed picture of himself and Connor McDavid. And it's the two of them at center ice. He's dropping the puck. Connor McDavid, the inscription on the photo is hilarious as well, because he writes to Alphonse. Is that what it says?
No.
It's just like the worst handwriting you've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. Like brutal handwriting. And then it's like
he was in a car, like off-roading, and someone handed him a Sharpie while they're hitting huge ruts in an off-road vehicle.
It's like that Steve-O tattoo.
Write him this photo for Alphonse Davies. Yeah, exactly. No time.
It's the Steve-O tattoo from Jackass 2.
Oh, to Alfonso, keep up the great work. And yeah, the handwriting is so bad.
To Alfonso, keep up the great work. Drink the pink, Connor.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Anyways, Alphonse Davies posts it, and behind him on the wall are like a bunch of kind of odd photos of like animals and little plants. So McDavid responds and says, put it under the seahorse.
Oh,
because there's a picture of a seahorse next to Alphonse Davies.
Atta boys. I actually heard Connor's funny. Like a teammate. Yeah,
I bet he is. Yeah. It's just
it's not when it's game like, time, right? Yeah. Like not when it's kill mode.
And I bet he's one of those guys that, if you don't know him, he's not cracking jokes. Like, but like when you're on the inside, he's got some zingers.
Yeah.
Zingers.
Some of the responses: at 5 years old, a young Connor McDavid decided he didn't need to learn handwriting anymore and stuck with hockey. I simply cannot believe that a man with the literal hands of God actually wrote this.
I bet you he just finished doing like 1,000 one finger pushups. Yeah. And they're like, Hey Connor, write on this thing.
Connor does everything with a hockey stick.
Yeah.
He does. So he's got a special stick with a pen strapped to the blade, and he stick handled that.
Which makes the handwriting all the more impressive, actually.
All the more impressive.
Yeah.
Someone else said, are we supposed to believe Alfonso was written by McDavid? Looks like a fill in the blank. Do better. And
Better. Who are you?
But my argument would be, no, if they were trying to pull a fast one on us and be like, oh, yeah, just fill in the blank here and we'll send this picture to Alfonso, they would have made it look better. They wouldn't have been like, just write it like shit. No one will notice.
That's no, this was written by Connor, but there was extenuating circumstances because it looks weird.
Yeah, it does. It looks very odd. Yeah, he wrote it on a plane or something.
There's no way that's his penmanship, for heaven's sakes. Look at his signature. His signature is scrolly-wally.
Need to see this fucking disaster you guys are talking about here.
Yeah. I like the sound of Begnell clicking away to find this thing. But now we're going to get your reaction of you looking at it for the first time.
Where is it? Like, how far?
Just go to Alphonso Davies' Twitter. It's like the first thing.
Oh, okay.
Anyone been keeping up with Euro 2020? There's a Yaremchuk lighting it up.
I know.
Hilarious.
I've been meaning to tag you, but I'm like, everyone else is
like the singing competition.
What?
Euro 2020? Like Eurovision 2020? Like where this, each country sends a singer and they have a sing-off internationally.
This is like the third largest sporting event in the world.
Like, and then there's like an Icelandic Simon Cowell on the end who doesn't like any of the Scandinavian singers.
Yeah. Bag Milk, your take on Connor McDavid's printing?
It looks like, I mean, the printing isn't as offensive to, like, it's the printing is, I feel like you guys are being hard on the printing.
Well, the y-axis is not being respected. The letters are all wiggly piggly.
Yes. But to Alfonso, the Alfonso is aggressively written. I don't know what's going on there. It was like he was trying to write with his left hand or his left foot.
There's a smushed P. You would never smush a P, I don't feel.
No, the A is not really an A. It looks more like a 9. Yeah, that's interesting. Interesting.
The quality seems off. But what I will say is that the quality is...
The hands of God wrote this. So good.
The quality is never off when you order through our friends at Twig and Berries. We got the promo code NATION15, gets you 15% off. They got their in-person store set up. So now you can go try. I don't think you're allowed to like try on the nutsack underwear. But you can try on all the clothing there as well. See it in person before you buy it. They got a ton of great stuff at their website as well. Twigandberries.ca. Free shipping on orders over $75 in Canada. All right. So we opened up our voicemail. We're getting into this.
Yeah, let's do it.
We got a handful of them. We're going to play them. And then after I play them, I'm going to send out a question for next week that people can hit up on the voicemail. Or you can literally just send us anything, as you're about to see. So the first one we got was technically the first one we got was from Electronic Jordan, who started it by saying, this is for Oilers Nation Radio, and didn't give us a real life question.
It was a good ON radio question, though.
It was.
It started a good debate.
Wrong yeah. number. First caller was a wrong number.
Yeah. Pretty yeah. much. But the next one was from Oliver Lachansky, son of Surveyor Brett. And they added in the description, not coached at all. And here's what Oliver had to say.
Hi, I'm Oliver Lachansky, the son of Surveyor Brett. And if you don't back into parking spaces and you have a big truck, you're a coward.
Whoa! Oliver!
Man, shots calling you out.
Fired!
Wow.
Wow.
I love the input. I think that was great. You know, we like that guy. And that too, right? If you just have a take on anything we've said on the podcast, you can hit up our voicemail.
Oh,
that's
wow.
good. Well, good opening volley.
You'll love to know, Oliver. I got busted. I didn't back into a parking stall. I was forced into a situation where I had to drive through into a parking stall, which had me look like I backed in. Someone caught it and came at me on Twitter about it, and I respect it.
All the best.
So, Oliver, I'm sorry. Not all of us wear capes. Enjoy your life of backing into parking stalls.
Coward. But such a great you. Diss. Yeah. Hard to recover from a
I'll
coward.
Be scared to say that to your face, though.
It's so emasculating to call it a coward.
I know.
In the mouths of babes.
Oh, from a nice young person like Oliver.
7-year-old Oliver Lachansky.
Yowza.
Oh, geez. I've been knocked down a rung or 10 there, haven't I?
Turned the knife, too.
I might just give up driving.
As we go forward here, some of these are not entirely appropriate. So 7-year-old Oliver Lachansky, you may want to stop listening to the podcast.
Any earmuffs. Children.
Earmuffs. Yeah. Cover your ears, you coward.
This next one is from Arsh. And I like it because it just hits you like a ton of bricks in terms of audio quality. It's great.
I'm asking the real questions. When are we getting the Oilers Nation boxing event? I want to hear him check versus Bag Milk.
It's got a staccato way of speaking.
Does he end it with like, I've also got like someone for hostage and I need $1 million?
I was going to say, do you want to play a game? It sounds like the guy from Jigsaw.
Give me back my son.
Or saw,
was static. Was that played on a radiola?
Yeah, sped up slightly, I feel like.
No, I like it. It's cool. It's eerie.
I like it.
Yeah. Anyways, he wants to see Yaremchuk v. Bag Milk in boxing. I got the reach on you. So, you know, there's
I'll
that.
Kiss you. You won't have any defense for it.
You little rascal.
Kiss and fight, eh?
We're double vaxxed. I'm going to kiss
you. This is the streets ordered.
Yeah.
All right. The next one here, you all know who recorded this one, but it's from Ray Upton, and the email is jdountonisafraud@noodleking.com.
Wow. I love, I opened up the idea of the voicemail. I'm getting absolutely fire roasted for it.
Your own parody version of yourself is talking to you, Jay. This is a paradox, if ever I've seen one.
All right, Ray, I can't wait. Come at me, bro.
This is Ray Upton, CEO of Noodle King. We took Lacombe, and now we're coming for Kingsway Mall. We're taking the A&W out. We're coming for Oodle Noodle. Red onion cakes for life.
One time we offhandedly mentioned I had a dream about an alternate Oodle Noodle brand that in my dream was 100 steps ahead of Oodle Noodle.
I like it.
And some mysterious listener took it upon himself to create these social media accounts and mock Jay using them, which is just great.
Oh, I love it. We took Lacombe. Now Kingsway.
This next
how
one.
I thought Ray Upton would talk, but yeah.
This next one is, I'm going to give a shout out to this one. Chandler Dixon, big listener of the pod. You know I like it when things are on the rails, so I appreciate him leaving a voicemail that was also very on the rails. Here's Chandler.
Hey, guys. This is in response to that Instagram post you put about the jerseys. For me, I would pick the reverse retros, the royal blues, and those awesome McFarlane Comet logo jerseys. But honestly, I would love if they just mix and matched all sorts of jerseys throughout their history, because, man, we got some sick ones.
You know what? It's funny he says that. I literally had a dream last night that we had the reverse retro with the McFarlane meteor on it.
Oh, my God. That would be
good looking.
That'd be
dope. We should just start making like deconstructed Oilers jerseys that we wish they'd made. Just make them for real. No, no, but like make them in real life.
I feel like we might
take a McFarland jersey, de-stitch the logo, take an alternate jersey, stitch it on that bitch.
That's making me think we're in line for a Photoshop contest, though. Like a jersey.
We haven't done an OG Photoshop contest.
You guys used to do that all the time.
Been a long time since we've had a classic Photoshop contest.
Hey Ray, Oodle Noodle would like to sponsor this.
Boom.
Snuck on that.
Reach. Reach.
Bag Milk, you writing down this idea?
Yep.
Okay, perfect. I don't think you've done a Photoshop contest since I was merely a nation citizen. Like, since I began working for you guys, I don't think you've done
that. I honestly forgot about them until just now.
Yeah.
Well, it turned into a point where I suck at picking was just winning all of them.
Yeah, that's what happened. We basically retired the trophy. It was just an I suck at picking gallery, which was great.
Ban him from competition. He can't. Cannot participate. No. You're too good. You're too good.
You can't. No, he's too good to ban.
In the Hall of Fame.
Anyways, Chandler, thanks for sending that in. I agree. I think the Oilers should mix in more throwback jerseys a little bit more often. Like, why can't we have a game next season where they wear the 06 home jersey? Like, why not? Throw it in there. One or two games.
If you want to honor the young and the old and the new and the past, like, it's time to honor mid-90s stuff. Like, bringing back the McFarlane, you know? Yeah. That type of thing. The oil guy on the shoulder inexplicably pulling on a hockey stick-shaped lever. Get him out. Where's he at these days? Is he retired? Mm-hmm.
How's Hunter took care of him.
Where's Hunter?
Where is Hunter? That's a good question. Too,
Hunter.
Yeah, we don't know where Hunter is either. It's actually Hunter. Like weird. The only time you ever saw Hunter this past season was in the, well, they played one pre-recorded video on the Jumbotron every time they scored, and it was the same clip of Hunter. But like, he was not there at all. Like, you never really saw him out and about. So anyways, Hunter, if you're listening, we miss you and we hope you're well.
Hunter has been impacted by the pandemic because I'm sure it's been hard for him, and there's nothing he could be doing to be a better hunter. He is the best hunter there is.
But I do feel like Gritty did a good job of updating people throughout the pandemic of
what they're doing. Like, why is Philly so plugged in mentally?
Philly got it.
So...
Yeah. Hunter content should not have stopped.
Yeah, because like Hunter could have been doing those things you see on TikTok all the time where he's bouncing ping pong balls off a series of pans and shit. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't want to ruin the illusion of Hunter for you, but in a time like this, you could have had a series of hunters doing insane acrobatics and shit in a different, in the suit. You know what I'm saying? Wink.
Hopefully 7-year-old Oliver is not listening at this point.
Maybe one day Hunter's a ninja. Wink. And the next day he's a tumbler. Wink.
So we got one more voicemail to get to. And when we set this up, you guys all said, you know, whatever
else.
Well, you all brought up the fact that whatever is sent in, I would screen it first, which means I have to listen to everything no matter what. And this next one is nearly a minute long, and we are absolutely not playing all of it. But here's the start.
I heard you guys wanted erotica, so he drove... setting.
And that is all.
Why'd you
I'm amazed
that?
You let that much
dude,
play. Oliver.
Yeah, geez.
Earmuffs, bro.
Cut that out.
Yeah. This is a religious show.
I'll add a bleep in there. 41.
Suffice to say, our young Tyler became a man this week listening to the voicemails.
So anyways, I kept wait because I obviously listened to the entire minute because I
about 45 times last night.
Yeah,
11:30 at night.
Mm-hmm. I was hoping it would take a turn and have like a joke in it somewhere, like, you know, like the man leaned over to her and said Chalmers cheated or something like that.
So let me get this straight. Your MJ, you listen to actual erotica made for you hoping there's a joke thrown in.
Because you
were hoping. Like,
you know what's sweet when you're sexting and all of a sudden you just drop a hilarious knock knock. Yeah,
he was hoping that a character named Tyler entered the conversation.
Yeah. Wink. Tyler slowly unbuttoned his shirt.
Your MJ's listening to erotica and just gets inexplicably giddy and wants to hear jokes.
He listened to it 63 times to keep finding that joke, and it just never showed up.
It's in there somewhere.
Tyler slowly unbuttoned his Tommy Bahama T-shirt.
I just kept waiting for some tie into the podcast and it never came. So we appreciate the message. We really do. hopefully you understand why we're not playing the entire minute of it on the podcast.
Rude, I say.
Yeah.
We appreciate the message.
Well, we do.
The sensuality of a shoehorn.
Well, I also need to be careful how I'm choosing my words right now, because you guys will never let me hear the end of it if I say something.
I enjoyed it as much of that as you did, you saucy cup of milk.
yeah, we're gonna clean that up a little bit in post, as they say in the industry.
Caller one's a 7-year-old. Caller five
wants to talk about sex.
Maybe he dropped off the 7-year-old in the preceding 4 minutes.
Ugh, boy, yeah, that whole and
still great times. Glad we did this.
New chapter of the podcast.
Yeah, the voicemail era. It's gonna get us through the summer. Is coming back to these.
If you're looking for the link to the voicemail, it's in our real life socials, as well as the article on the website. So just go to the article on the website. It's right there. Leave us a message.
Yeah. Or like Beg Milk said, it's the links in our bio on Twitter and Instagram as well. Super, super easy to find.
Also, for those that have a tough time, I'll just tweet out your M. Chuck's phone number and just the voicemails on his phone.
Yep. If you're going
to leave messages for your M. Chuck in like a whiny drunk voice that I know he's going to have to listen to.
You big baby, Rimjack.
The question I want to float out to people, and of course to the three of you as well. I saw the post go up that was, how could you make Oilers games more erotic? No, I'm kidding.
I hope there's a joke in the middle.
Yeah, I'll wait though. I'll wait to find out.
Yeah.
Damn, this is hot. I can't wait for a joke.
You can't blame me for thinking that though. I thought there'd be an angle here. I didn't think we were actually getting however many seconds of like straight audio porn into my ears. I thought there'd be
sometimes boys and girls talk sexy to each other. Your M. Chuck, you just gotta kind of lean back and watch the ride.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, Oilers Nation on Instagram posted, what can be done to create a better atmosphere at Rogers Place? Obviously, you know, hopefully next season fans are back in the building at full force. I know the Oil Kings announced that fans will be in the building when they open their next season. Presumably the Oilers are in the same boat. But Jay, I saw you had a comment on there. I just thought I'd open it up and say, if you could add one thing to the game day experience, maybe not even in the game, but around Rogers Place, one thing to the game day experience at Rogers Place, what would you add?
$3 beers.
Damn.
Oh,
that's smart. I didn't even think at that angle, but
$3 beers would just like, that's a game changer. If you got $3 beers,
that's the grassroots level to high octane fandemonium.
And
that's
lots of fights, Suns and Four.
Oh,
Suns and Four is coming out on $3 beer night. I'll tell you that much for sure. For sure.
It'd be cool to have variable beer pricing where like, it's like, this power play is brought to you by Odd Shark. If the Oilers score, it's -25 on beers.
Yeah, or like every time McDavid gets a goal, it's a dollar cheaper or whatever. You know, something like that? Like, that'd be fun.
For every goal the Oilers are losing by, they have to take a dollar off the beer price. So if they're ever down 8-1, beers are a penny.
Didn't I tell a story? There's a team in Finland that if the team is losing, beers are cheaper.
That's how they should do it here.
That's how they should do it, man. That's good. That's which is the baseball team or is it football where their menu price just doesn't change?
Atlanta.
Like
Atlanta brought their prices down.
Yeah, the Falcons.
Let's do it. $3 beers. I love that. Man, I'm having a good time in an Oilers game if there's $3 beers.
Like, I don't buy food when I go watch an Oilers game. I buy beers, but I'm never like, you know, going and getting a snack or whatever. But if things were significantly cheaper, I would. Like, if a soft pretzel was $3 instead of like $6.75, I know I'm just being cheap, but I would buy more. Like, I think that's kind of the thinking, at least with what Atlanta had,
I'm more likely maybe even buy food if beer's cheaper.
Yeah, too.
Chances are,
there's a joke thrown in.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
If the cashier
says a joke. You need to balance out the old body chemistry, though. So as the $3 beer is going down, you got to balance it out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You get that bacon cheeseburger on sale.
The Bobby Nicks.
Yeah.
I'd love to see more effort go into the pregame show at the new arena. Like back in the day, man, they used to race Thunderbirds out at the bloody racetrack and shit. And Smitty had a leather jacket on. Like before the Oilers even hit the ice, I was 10 out of 10 excited. The oil derrick come down. They had a fire shooting out. Holy shit.
I'm with Wanya. I think that not just pregame, but during the game as well. Like, let's lose the crowd shots. And, like, let's actually do something with that board that they spent so much money on. Like, I think about...
You don't want to show startled Edmontonians in their seats?
You know, they're looking at their phone and then someone points that they're on the screen and then they realize they're on the screen.
On the scoreboard, Martha? How would that be?
They could do highlights that are kind of like memes, kind of like Josh Park makes for us. They could do stuff that's more entertaining. Like, I think about when you go to Vegas to a game, and obviously Vegas is Vegas and it's right on the strip and all that stuff. But like, the party starts outside.
Yes.
Before you even get in.
And yes. That's what I was going to say, actually. Well,
that's what Ice District might be able to add to that when it's like fully up and operational. Because like, that's essentially what they have outside of Vegas, is like a mini Ice District, right? Yeah. So they got that those like two or three bars that are basically right along the pathway to the arena.
This is like my frustration, though. Like, the Oilers game day experience. Now, granted, the Ice District isn't done, but like, good gravy. We've been there for years now. They're not even trying. Like, there isn't even so much as one person outside of the single flag. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I'd like to know, like, the interesting thing, we talk about it before, and we're going to do a nation vacation there, best believe, but well, Vegas, but also like Nashville. Nashville's got, I want to know if it was manufactured or organic. Nashville's got so many different chants.
All manufactured. They're Nashville. They understand entertainment.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's fair. And so, in a lot of it, so they've got a section that's designated, I think it's like 303 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the wild section, which is like what our Galleria was. Galleria was our muse. Like, if you would look up to that. For like
section 333
to like for the tone, like, hey, where are we at? Because it's where I want to be, where they're at. And if they're
hammered,
so you know, it's a function of, sure, there's some assets that need to be built, but a lot of it needs to be will and determination by us and a willingness for the team to allow it to happen.
Here's what we should do, your M-Chuck. You want a promo? Call it 1,000 Smitties. You force 1,000 Edmontonians to get surgery to look like Ryan Smith and wear mullet wigs, and they all greet you at the arena. And so as you walk up, there's 1,000 Ryan Smiths saying, good game, good game, good game.
So that's like, but Wanya, like, that's not like far off. Like, what if you had a section where everyone wore a fucking mullet wig?
Oh, well, if you wanted to be fun, there's an infinity amount of fun you could have. Oh, we're not in the business of having fun at Rogers Place.
No, I know. Well, exactly, right? So
the one idea I had, you mentioned like in Vegas, the party starts outside, right? And I mean, in Vegas, you can walk around with a beer or with a drink and it's allowed. It's fine. But I would love to see them find a way to either set up, like, Ford Hall is cool, but it's very small. Like, you can't fit a ton of people in there to have a pregame beverage, right? I would love to see some sort of outdoor area like around the arena be licensed where I understand for a lot of the year, it's also cold as fuck. And like, no one really wants to do that. But for the months of the year where it's like nice out, I think it would be really cool to be able to go out there in your hoodie and your jersey before the game, be amongst a bunch of fans and be like having a beer on the sidewalk, talking with people, walking around a little bit. I think that would be like really neat. Some sort of like outdoor garden area where you could have a beverage if you want. I want to
bash cars and sledgehammers again. Remember that?
Yeah.
That's the shit. What, cars aren't worth smashing anymore? You used to be able to smash cars all the time.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like make every game, and like, you can really crank it up for the weekend games too, but like, make every game a cool atmosphere outside. Yes. So like, before you are even in the rink, you're fucking jazzed that you're getting a chance to watch the Oilers. That was
my 1,000 people who look like Ryan Smith all deployed around the arena saying, hey, good job. Get her done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Before we keep going here, need to give some love to manscaped.com.
It's called the you know zone.
1,000 Smitties.
Yeah, you know, zone.
1,000 Smitty night on Wednesday, they'll say.
I feel like that could be a song, 1,000 Smitties.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. And Smitty's restaurant is like, I hope this takes off. We could use the advertising.
Our friends at manscaped.com have launched the Performance Package 4.0. The Lawnmower 4.0 is out. It looks very sleek, and they've thrown it in a package with all their other good stuff so that you can take care of your package as well. $159.99 at manscaped.com, Canadian. Use the promo code REALLIFE, saves you 20%, and guess what? Gets you free shipping as well. That shit shows up on your doorstep, and you can start cleaning up your doorstep. Is that a saying? Is that something I can do?
Did you make that up?
So yeah, just on the spot. Walk all over your genitalia? Is that what you're saying?
Hey, if that's what people are into. Anyways, With the in-game experience, I want to hear from the listeners of this podcast, the diehard Oilers fans that we love. Hop into our voicemail, or if you want to just hop into our DMs as well. Either one. We'll take your ideas. We'll debate them all coming up on a future episode of the pod and we'll have some fun with it.
Change the intros. Like, I want them to come out to Thunderstruck one night and like Rick Ross the next. You know what I mean? Just because they have an intro doesn't mean we got to beat it to death all 48 games.
That's true. That's true.
I would like
That's
true. Personalized goal songs too.
Yeah, yeah, I'm a little iffy on that. I like that the Oilers have their little sound bites mixed in, right? Like they play Forgot About Dre when Draisaitl scores like a little bit after. They do the Hello Moto thing. I like having a goal song that the crowd can like really get behind. You know, like Chicago has Chelsea Dagger. I've always been jealous of that. I'd like something that like when you're in the crowd, you can like yell along to after they score, which they kind of have. Now it's like, hey, hey, hey. Anyways,
and then with a personal touch to it, yeah, okay, I can maybe see that.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that, what was it? The Chicago Bears made a rap song the 1 year.
Oh yeah, what's it called?
Make the Oilers do that every year. Every year they have to do a group rap.
Yeah, like the Jazzercise video. The old Oilers did it, like Carnival of Champions in their tracksuits.
Bring back Carnival of Champions too, if we're bringing things back. By the way,
wow.
If there's one thing this podcast is good at, it is reminiscing about old Oilers shit.
Well, that's all we have. That and the greatest player in the modern era and another Hart winner.
All in all, a good spot. All right. We are going to wrap this up. Thanks to everyone who left us a voicemail. If you're listening to this and you didn't leave us a voicemail, we want to hear from you directly.
Just make sure it has a joke in it.
Yeah. Rip Tyler.
Well,
please.
Yeah, especially that
Stop
one.
Stop ripping me. God, I took it right across the chin this week.
I'm the people's hero. Something.
Oh, fuck. There you go. There's your ammunition, folks.
Yeah, the people's hero, Tyler Yaremchuk.
Yeah.
Will not flood your basement, I promise.
The burrito consuming hero we all need.
All right, when are we starting Tyler Tries, by the way?
We got to get on that.
I threw out on Oilers Nation next Radio week, on Friday. I was talking about we were doing our Deuce Vodka plugs, and I was talking about how I wanted a Caesar. I really felt like a Caesar. Yeah. Tyler's never had a Caesar.
I've got Josh Park working on a video that's launching this week. So maybe next week we should do a Tyler Tries.
When is that video that Josh is working on? When are we doing that?
Well, it was going to be today, but now it's going to be Wednesday.
So maybe coming up on Thursday, we should have a special guest on this podcast.
Yeah, we sure could.
Maybe that's where we leave it. Maybe that's where we end episode 292 of the Real Life Podcast on a little tease. Shout out to the HGA group. Also to Neo Financial, Twig and Berries, and Manscaped.com. All fantastic sponsors of the show. Shout out to everyone who participated. Don't forget, like, subscribe, leave a review and 5 stars wherever you get your podcast from. It would be greatly appreciated. For Jay, Wanye, Bag Milk, I'm Tyler Yaremchuk. Enjoy your week, nation citizens, and we'll talk again on Thursday.
Great job on making it through the entire hour of the Real Life Podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, hockey heads, get ready for the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Each game day, answer four questions. Pick the winning team, guess if points will be over or under, predict the first goal, and choose the highest scoring period. Daily winners snag gift cards, while each round's champs pocket cold, hard cash. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. It's fast, it's fun, and it's all about hockey. Let's go!